Welcome to this Sunday morning's message podcast from Kingdom Faith.
Brilliant. Let's stay standing. Now, some of you will know Steve and Esther Upple. Maybe some of you have not met them before. But these guys are great friends of ours, and they lead an amazing church up in Wolverhampton. And it's really thriving and growing and seeing lots of people getting saved over the last few years. They got, I think, three services on a Sunday morning. So their first, what time's the first one? 8:30 in the morning's the first one. But they're packed out, these three services. And then they have a couple of other different services in the afternoons for different languages. And just really reaching out into that city and region. I believe God's developing All Nations, that's the name of the church, into an apostolic hub. And I believe that's the mantle on their lives, that an apostolic anointing and grace that is not just for their own work, but to train, equip, mobilize, send. And I believe over the next few years, you know, All Nations will develop much more into an apostolic hub in that region and impacting the nation and beyond. They do various things overseas as well. Exciting. They're just about to finish a 1,000-seater building, aren't you? It's really, it's amazing facility. And so that's opening in a few couple of months' time, just because of the growth and what God is doing. These guys have been at Faith Camp with us a couple of times and always carry, you know, the heart of God, but also a now word from God, as well as that apostolic grace. There's always a prophetic edge to what comes as well, bringing something from God that is a now word that God is saying, not just to us, but also to the church. And so let's welcome Steve and Esther as they come and share this morning.
Well, very, very good morning to you. You may be seated. It's an absolute joy to be here with you. We travelled down yesterday, and I've got to just say, Clive has been a faithful part of, I know he's at KF, but he's been a faithful part of All Nations over the last few years because he's one of my trustees. And so a few times a year, he takes the journey all the way up to Wolverhampton to sit with us and to help us as we kind of navigate the church forward. So he's been really helpful to me as a friend and to us as a church as well. He's ministered last year at one of our leaders' days as well. So I really appreciate you, Clive. I've seen a lot less of Jane, but very excited to be here with Esther over the next few days and for the four of us just to reconnect again. Esther's going to say a word in a moment, but I want to just tell you, I've brought some stuff with me. The first book I ever wrote is called Rousing the Warriors. Anybody ever read that? Anybody not read it? Would you like it? Okay, if you can help me by coming out so I'm not... there you go. That's called Rousing the Warriors, and it's a prophetic call to rise up and boldly advance the kingdom of God. I think there's a lot of passivity in people's lives today, and God wants us to be militant and intentional and even aggressive in our advancement of his kingdom. We're never aggressive against people. We're never aggressive against people groups or other faiths, but we do become pretty aggressive against darkness and against the enemy trying to invade our families and our territory, and we stand back and we stand up and we push back against that. So in that book, I talk about how to be militant and how to build up your inner man to be strong. The second book I wrote was called, or is called, One Life, Living on Purpose, Making It Count. It's really making the most of the life that God's given you. It's not a dress rehearsal. Squeeze the most out of every single day God gives you. And I talk in here about if you discover your true indisputable purpose, they will lead you to discover your unique purpose in God. Anybody want that? I'm getting bolder now, you can tell. I was about to throw, but well, bless you. And this third one is called The Burning Ones, Igniting and Fueling a Passion for Jesus. The forgotten man of the gospel, but he's coming to take center stage in his church again. And this is all about him, how to have your heart burning, ignited, and on fire all the time, like they did in Luke 24. Did not our hearts burn within us while we walk with him along the way? Anybody want that? There you go. You're very welcome. Sorry, could you just take her to first aid? We put a load of my teaching on a USB memory stick, So there's, I think all three books are on there as Kindle and iBooks and stuff like that, PDFs. And also I recorded all three books as audiobooks, so that's on there. Then about 8 hours on marriage, 10 hours on finances, how to dreams to reality series, how to build up your inner man series. There's a whole load on here. A lot of the poems and sermon notes and stuff I've used in the past, so that's all on there. Anybody want that? I'm just going to do this. Okay. Sorry, that is metal. I probably shouldn't have done that. And there's a few CDs out there, audiobooks and sermons, random stuff out there. Just, shall I just, while the going's good. There you go. Frisbees in church on Sunday morning. So I'm married to Esther, and we celebrate, I think Clive and Jane celebrate tomorrow their wedding anniversary. Am I right? So how many years? 29 years. They don't look old enough to have been married that long. So a real special congratulations to them. We're really babies. We celebrate 19 years on the 15th, just in a couple of days' time. So, and so this is Esther, who I've been married to for 19 years.
Am I on?
Yeah, just go for it.
Yeah, I just wanted to stand up and just say hello to everybody this morning. It's a real privilege for both of us to be with you. We felt such an excitement as we were just driving up yesterday just for all that God is doing. And I really sense in your atmosphere that God is up to something really special. I always consider it a huge privilege just to be able to get together with church family and just worship God together. And I kept thinking of Psalm 115, verse 1, where it says, "Not to us, O Lord, not to us, but to your name be the glory because of your love and your faithfulness." And we gather together to give God glory. We exist for his glory. Our marriages are for his glory. And so that is fantastic. And then just as we were worshipping, I just had this kind of sense of buds just flowering all over the room. Different colours, different shapes, different heights. And I just feel that God is going to speed up his purposes in this place. He's about to bring a season change, an acceleration to the plans that he has for this house and this family. And I just feel him saying that the colours in this church family, the ages, the colours, the differences, they aren't going to clash, but they're going to be for the display of his glory and for his splendour. Psalm 67 says, "May God be gracious to us and bless us and make his face to shine upon us so that your ways may be known on earth and your salvation among all nations." And I feel that God wants to pour out a blessing on this church family so that you will be a blessing in the places where you live and work. Amen. So I just wanted to...
Amen. So Father, we pray into that right now. The little buds, the little flowers, the beginnings of growth, the beginnings of dreams, hopes in you, new pathways that people have begun to walk on. I thank you that this is a new season. I thank you that the best for Kingdom Faith here in Horsham and beyond the other congregations, I thank you that their best is yet to come. And I pray that you would shower in the right way the buds and the ideas and dreams and beginnings with your reign. I pray that your reign, your word, and your Holy Spirit would come and just nurture that which is growing. I thank you for the seeds that were planted a time ago. And I thank you that they're budding and they're coming up. And I thank you that they will grow into a full-grown both fruit and flowers and plants and trees. Lord, I just ask that you would nurture all that you have caused to grow here. And I thank you that nothing will clash, but it will all complement and become beautiful together. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Well, I want to speak to you for a few moments. I'll set a little context and I'll give you a title for this morning. Read a few verses from Habakkuk 1. And this isn't where I'm going all morning. This is just an introduction. Habakkuk 1:5, "Look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For I'm going to do something in your days that you would not believe even if you were told." I want to declare to you today, look at the nations and watch and be utterly amazed. For the Lord is going to do something in our day that we would not have believed it even if we had been told. We've been told some things. We've rehearsed some words. But actually, I think that the Lord is going to surprise all of us in what he does. He says, you will be utterly amazed. I believe we're living in days that we will be utterly amazed as we see the Lord's purposes unfolding. All of us see in part, know in part, and the parts that we see are exciting, but they're not the entirety of what God is about to do. I've heard this phrase twice this morning. Jane said it once in the green room, and I heard somebody else probably half an hour before on a tape I was in, CD I was listening to, say that God is reshaping the wineskin for new wine to be poured in. He's restructuring it. And I'm like, man, that's twice in one morning, same phrase, within half an hour. And I just feel it. God is going to reshape things, ready to hold what he's about to do. So don't be offended with what God is doing. Most people get offended with God because he delivers things in packages that they're not used to. And they're like, that wasn't the way it happened 20 years ago or 30 years ago. And we've got to know that the gospel never changes. God doesn't change. But the way he does things and his methods often do change, because they come into the timings where we are and what he's doing in our day. Our second verse, Habakkuk 2:14. For the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. The earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Our earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord just as the waters cover the sea. I pray that your hope is kind of lifted up today. With all that's happening maybe in the world economy, in world politics, and there's some crazy stuff going on. And with all that's happening with the potential of terrorism and people and kind of a fight with each other, the earth will be filled with the knowledge of the glory of the Lord as the waters cover the sea. Habakkuk 3:2 is a prayer. And it says, Lord, I've heard of your fame. I stand in awe of your deeds. Oh, Lord, renew them in our day. And in our time, make them known. And in wrath, remember mercy. Just basically saying to God, God, we've heard of the famous things you've done. We've heard of the revivals. I think next month is 110th anniversary of Azusa Street. And there's some great expectation amongst various people. Lou Engel, who's been kind of really for 40 years pioneering away in prayer, has mobilized, I mean, thousands of people to come onto that area in California and to pray and to seek God. Hired the biggest coliseum. They're asking God to come visit in a new way. He believes it's a culmination of 40 years of praying, 100 years of prophecy, and what God is about to do in this day. Lord, we've heard of your fame. We've heard about the Welsh revival. Lord, we've heard about outpourings over the last 30 years. We've heard about it. We stand in awe of your deeds, but renew them in our day. In our time, make them known. And that really becomes a prayer. It's saying, God, we know who you are. We know your character. We've heard a little of what you've done. And we're asking in our day, make that happen again. I believe he's about to. My whole life, I feel like I've been prophesying about stuff to come. I believe that we're just entering into prophetic fulfillment days, where we start to see the days actually unfolding before our very eyes. And there's a tension in that day. I was going to say I've had four kids. I haven't had four kids. Esther had four kids. They're our kids. Their ages are 10 and 12, that's the boys, and then 15 and 17 are the girls. And there was tremendous joy when we found out Esther was pregnant. Tremendous joy as the little bump grew. And tremendous excitement when waters broke or it's happening. But huge kind of mixed feelings. I didn't have them. Esther had them. When it's coming to the point of giving birth. It's like, could I possibly change my mind right now? Why? Because at the moment of giving birth, there's almost like a little battle you go through as you birth the baby through that birthing canal and into the world. I believe that we're in that stage of the birthing canal of the purposes of God for many across our nation and our world, including Kingdom Faith. And a lot of people are asking, I don't know if I signed up for this. I don't know, I didn't expect it to be this difficult. I know I've got promise and I know I've got prophecy over my life, but I didn't expect this tension against it. I didn't expect that I'd have to push this hard, hold on to this promise this strong. I want to say it's normal. And God has hidden in nature and even in babies being born, principles of his kingdom. We hold on. We hold steady. It's going to be okay. We do community. We hold hands and say, you're going to make it. It's going to be okay. It's hidden in the way that God has created us, the way that he wants his kingdom to be run. I want to encourage you, hold steady. Whatever you're passing through, hold steady because it's about to be birthed. Some things through your own life, some things through Kingdom Faith. I sensed it so strong and I've been reluctant to say it because I prayed it, but it's such a cliche, but I don't feel it as a cliche. But I keep feeling in the green room, in worship, and again now, your best is yet to come. What you've seen up till now is not what Kingdom Faith was birthed for. I really sense the Lord saying, actually, what I have for you, is you're just coming into. And you might say, well, the last 30, 40 years have been what we're about. No, there were the startings, and there were great foundations, and there was a great journey and a great story. But God lays all of that to build something upon it. And so don't limit yourself by what you've been through. Hear the word of the Lord for what you're coming into. So I'm excited by all of that. Isaiah 60, my last kind of introduction scripture, says, arise and shine, for your light has come. One of my favorite verses over the last kind of 15 years, arise and shine, for your light has come. Isaiah 60, verse 1, arise, shine. Come on, let me give it you as a charge this morning. I want to say to you, arise, shine, your light has come. I don't know, well, you may have been downcast, you may have been sunken in problems. The word of the Lord to you this morning, arise, shine, for your light has come. And the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. You might say, well, God, how about all the stuff that's going on? God knows all the stuff that's going on. See, verse 2, see, darkness covers the earth. Thick darkness, the peoples or the people groups. But the glory of the Lord rises upon you. The glory of the Lord rises upon you. You always have an option as to what you will look to and what you will believe. You either see the darkness and that's all you see, or you see the glory of the Lord rising upon you and you say, this is my finest hour. I was born for days like this. Lord, you birthed me into the right generation at the right time. Because you believe with your spirit in me, I can make a difference for your kingdom. And so no matter what's thrown against me, I'm standing firm and standing secure in your promises. So I'm going to arise and shine, for my light has come. Amen. Okay, where I'm going to live this morning. So that's an introduction just to say, come on, this is it. I was going to say how old I am. I don't know whether I should. I'm 41. I'm going to be 42 soon. And it feels like sometimes, anybody know what it's like? You're always waiting for the promise. Yeah. I've had lots of promises and prophecies come to pass. I mean, lots. God has been so faithful and so good over the years. And I reflect on those and I'm grateful. But there are some things you feel like you're prophesying, you're speaking about, you're praying, but you don't quite see it happening right now. And that it's the tension of living with what God has said. It's living in us. We declare it back to him. We pray it back to him. But we're waiting for the fulfillment of it. And at the same time, we're living in the reality of today. And I think in the midst of that, this message, what I'm about to give you, I pray that it would be helpful for you to make sure that you don't allow the word of the Lord in your life to become diminished, or for you not to be ready, or for you to cast away your hope, or for you to be distracted. I think distraction's a major issue. or for you to get weary, or for you to lose your hope. I want to encourage you, don't do that. The invitation, the context is what we're about to walk into, what God is saying. The application for us is this morning, the Lord would put his hand out to you. And I believe he's doing this to all of us. And he's saying, come take a walk with me. Put your hand in mine. Come take a walk with me. Jeremiah 6 and verse 16. Key scripture for this morning. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. This is what the Lord says. Stand at the crossroads and look. Let me read that again. Stand at the crossroads and look. Ask for the ancient paths. Ask where the good way is and walk in it. And you will find rest for your souls. And this particular group said, we will not walk in it. I'm praying that's not our answer to the Lord. They said that, and people do say that. Some people even say in the room, yeah, that sounds good, but they walk out and their response is, I'm not walking that way. I pray that your response won't be, hey, keep your hand, keep your walk. I'm just going to carry on and make this on my own. I pray that your response will be, okay, I'm going to do this. This is what the Lord says. This is a word from the Lord. Stand. In other words, you can't be sitting. If you're standing, you can't be walking. If you're standing, you're not running. There's no movement. You stand. You stop. You don't just carry on with business as usual. You actually, you hear the word of the Lord and he says, stand, stop, ponder, take stock. Consider where you have come from. Consider the direction in which you are moving and consider the options before you. Just stop for a moment. I think of scriptures like, be still and know that I am Lord, that I am God. I think of scriptures in Mark 3, I think, where Jesus said to his disciples, come away with me for a while. Loads of crowds, loads of people, come away and be with me. It is sense of stop everything, don't just carry on, give thought to your ways, stand. And the word look, connected to standing, looking, considering and pondering and giving thought to your ways. How have I got here? 41 years old. What's the journey been like? Which way am I headed? How are my relationships doing? What's my spiritual zeal like? What's my fervor like? What has God said to me to do? Am I doing it? Am I walking in it? Just to ask those right questions. So you stand, you look, then you ask. And asking, he says, ask for two things. Ask for the ancient paths. Yeah. One translation says, ask for the eternal ways. Ancient paths, eternal paths, amen. Old roads. And the second asking, ask for the good way. The good old way, better way. You could phrase it any of those ways. The ancient paths, the eternal paths, the good way, the good old way, the better way, the eternal road. So you're walking along life and you are and am I this, I am this morning. And the Lord says, stop, stand, look, ask. Knowing what he's saying and what he's about to do, just stop for a moment. Knowing that this promise, knowing that this prophecy, knowing that the Holy Spirit is hovering and moving across the earth, he's saying, just stop, ask. Ask important questions about where you're up to, but more importantly, ask me for the eternal, old, ancient ways. I like to phrase it like this. The Ancient of Days asks you to look for the ancient paths. And I think the old ways are still the best ways. And by old ways, I'm not meaning methods of how we do life. I'm not meaning kind of methods of how we do church. I am meaning talking and walking and having a relationship with God. It's the old ways. The old ways. In the message, it says, well, the promise is you will find rest for your souls. So you ask for all of that. Once you've stopped, then he shows you. And then it says, now walk in it. And when you walk in it, you will find rest for yourself. I find people that all along that journey, they can do it different ways. They can get so far, they've stopped, they've looked, then they move on. Some people stop, look, ask, and they get a correct situation, and then they move on. They don't actually take the path that God shows them. I think, you know, how many people get Christmas time? They ask for, they look, I need to lose some weight. They ask, get me a DVD, gym membership. They get it, but then they do nothing with it. It's okay to stop, and it's okay to ask, and it's okay to, well, if something needs to change, I better get one of these, I better sign up for this monthly thing, and then nothing ever materializes. The walking in the road is so important so that you apply that which the Lord is saying. I think many of us fall down with just the knowledge in our heads but no application, where our feet don't touch the new road that God has shown us to walk on. And it's only as we walk the new road that we find rest, or the eternal path, the ancient way, that we find rest for our souls. I could give you so much in this little kind of preamble or introduction to walking ancient paths. And I know in some ways I'm speaking to the converted, but it really doesn't matter where you've been walking. There's new pathways. There's new vistas. There's fresher heavenly air to breathe. There's new levels of hope. There's greater strength on these paths. The Lord showed, just kind of challenging me the other day as I was reading, Steve, you run off with part revelations. You're reading the Bible, you read a verse, and you're like, wow, that is amazing. I journal it, I pray over it, and then I share it. And the Lord says, you got like a tenth of the revelation that was there because your excitement stopped you walking deeper into what I have. In our journey with God, many of us stop before we get more. We're too easily satisfied. We're too easily excited. The Lord's saying, hold steady, there's more for you if you just hold there a moment. In Hosea, I'm not going to read Jeremiah 6:16 in the message. I was going to, you can do it yourself. But Hosea 6 and verse 3 says, yes, this is in the Amplified, let us know, recognize, be acquainted with, and understand him. Let us be zealous to know the Lord, to appreciate, give heed to, and cherish him. His going forth is prepared and certain as the dawn. And he will come to us as the heavy rain, as the latter rain that waters the earth. The NIV says, let us acknowledge the Lord. Let us press on to acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises, he will appear. He will come to us like the winter rains and like the spring rains that water the earth. You press on to know him. Grow in your knowledge of him. Acknowledge him. As surely as the sun rises and as surely as the rain comes. That's a good word for us in England. As surely as the sun rises, well, we know the rain more than the sun, but as surely as both those things happen, he will come to you if you press on to know him. Isaiah 58, verse 12. This is generational. Part of what God is asking us to do, your people will rebuild the ancient ruins, will raise up the age-old foundations, and you will be called repairer of broken walls. Restorer of streets with dwellings. I probably stayed too long in that kind of setting the scene because I want to give you some more stuff, but I really want to drive home, even though we know what it is to walk with God, he's saying to us, stop a moment. Do you think that there's more to the Ancient of Days than we realize? Do you think he's more knowable than we realize he is? And many of us become comfortable with the path that we walk. And he's saying, come and ask me. There's ancient roads that you haven't yet discovered. There's new vistas I want to show you. Here's four things that will happen for you if you walk the ancient paths. Number one, walking ancient paths develops strength. In fact, it's the only way to become strong. It'll build your spiritual muscles, increase your endurance. You may start small, but you'll find strength and endurance increasing. And it is the spirit of a man that sustains a man in difficult times. It's who you are on the inside that will help you to survive the tough times. And it's walking the ancient pathways that actually develops the spirit, the strength on the inside. In the natural, if you walk, you're going to get strong. These guys are going to run next week. They might run a mile, they might run six. It's actually the running and increasing the time and where you run, maybe uphill, from flat to uphill. I've got one of my sister-in-law lives in Seaford, not far from here. And when she runs, I think 10, 12 miles, she runs over the hills and the kind of... And I'm like, man, I can do the flat terrain. I don't do too well on hills. But it's a great way of changing what you do and developing strength. And the Lord says, my eternal path, sometimes there's kind of a levelness in them. And then other times, as I know you, I'll pull you up into the heights. And you're like, wow, I don't know if I can do that. And you say, you can do it. Come with me. It'll develop strength in you. The second thing that will happen when you walk ancient paths, it changes the atmosphere. I come from Wolverhampton. You're not too far from London. How many know, if you just do your walks in the big city, it's filled with exhaust fumes, it's polluted, it's not very fresh. And I think many Christians live in an atmosphere that is without hope, and it's not fresh, and there isn't revelation. And the Lord is saying, come with me, and I'll give you a changed atmosphere, clean atmosphere, so that the air that you breathe and that you live in, it clears your head, it clears fogginess. You breathe it in, clarity comes to your vision, your perspective, illumination, understanding, revelation becomes normal. Anybody been on this journey with the Lord where you know what it is? In every day, everything you look at, there's a story, there's revelation, there's meaning. God's speaking, you're like, wow, he just said that. You know, and your heart just feels like, because you're breathing another atmosphere. And the fogginess has gone, it's clear. And then, have you ever had it where you go through a few weeks, maybe, and you don't see anything in anything? You may even be reading the Bible, and you're reading it, and you love God, but you're not getting anything. You're going through daily conversations. There's no quickening. Anybody know what I mean? It's all to do with the atmosphere where you live. You've got to sometimes get out of the normal atmosphere into a heavenly atmosphere that's charged with hope, and it's charged with revelation, and it's quickened with this sense of expectancy. There's a closeness to God. It feels like angels are right next to you. Anything can happen at any time. Faith levels begin to rise. And in fact, in the natural, there might be nothing that's different. It's just the eternal path you're walking on have caused you to breathe the air of heaven. And as you breathe the air of heaven, it has an impact in the way that you see and think and perceive. And one day, if you breathe it long enough, it then becomes the atmosphere that you give away to everybody around you. It's one thing to live in it for yourself. It's another thing to be able to give it away. So when people get close to you, they start seeing and feeling what you're seeing and feeling. So like, there's something about that. I only had one conversation with them, but I felt like crying. I felt my heart awaken. I felt like the Lord is, and they didn't even say much to me. It was just the air that you live in, the atmosphere you live in, you can give away to other people. Thirdly, walking ancient paths is the only way to cultivate intimacy with God. Growing in the knowledge of God is what I'm talking about. Growing intimacy with God happens by walking with God. Genesis 5, I'm not going to go there. It's not in my notes. But Enoch walked with God 300 years. And then he was no more because God took him. It didn't mean he was literally walking kind of around the earth for 300 years or something. It's describing his relationship with God. He walked with God. One translation says he walked with God habitually. Another one says he walked with God faithfully. Another one says he walked with God in unbroken communion. This sense of walking with God is what God's inviting us to. And if an Old Testament character like Enoch, before the cross, after the fall, before the cross, can walk with God, God is saying, come on, anybody want to come on a walk with me? And God made a prophetic sign of him and took him early, didn't die, just so that he could show us that there's a generation that can walk with God. And then Jude prophesies about Enoch, or quotes Enoch's prophecy. Jude 14, Enoch said, I see the Lord coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. So the man who walked with God got to see at the beginning of time, or the beginning of seventh from Adam, the man who walked with God there looks forward to the end of time, and God says, I'll let you prophesy a generation that's coming who are just going to be like you. And he prophesies, I see the Lord coming with thousands upon thousands of his holy ones. I believe this is the day. And God is saying, the key factor about these holy ones, they walked with God. Unbroken. What would happen if we just kept pushing, growing? One of my prayers, Lord, I don't want to have this as my life. I want to do this. I want to just keep, it doesn't even have to be this. It doesn't have to go up really kind of, just that'll do. That'll do. Just keep, but steadily growing into you. Would you help me to walk with you? Walking ancient paths, cultivate intimacy with God. And God will meet you on these roads. He'll show you himself. He'll show you things to come. The Holy Spirit will become your best friend, your counselor, your teacher, your guide, your comforter. He'll lead you into all truth. He'll show you when somebody's lying. He'll show you how to discern a situation just by walking with God in these paths. And then the last one, walking these ancient paths will help you to develop meaningful, godly friendships with other believers. I mean true koinonia, joining. You're not called to walk alone. Nobody does this walk on their own. You walk with others. Yes, I have prayer times on my own. Yes, I'm actually called to be part of a body. I'm walking ancient pathways, forges, lifelong joinings, provides and supports companionship. There are times you may not be able to walk, and people who you've been walking with will carry you during that time. There are times others won't be able to walk. They haven't got the sight. They're struggling. You'll be able to carry them. God created us to be a body. Our Christianity is to be lived in the context of community. Walking ancient pathways helps us to develop meaningful friendships. Okay, I've got 6 minutes. I'm going to get through this. That was all my introduction. That's so crazy. I've taken way too long on my introduction. Here's the first pathway. I may not get past the first pathway. So I tell you I've given you some prophetic context for the day in which we live. And I am absolutely convinced we're about to see the birthings of just revival type things happening. Not in one place. We're going to see them manifest. And they'll manifest slightly different in different places. And then we'll find them merging. And the beauty of that one, and the beauty of that one, and the beauty of that one, somehow the Holy Spirit knitting the strands together. I sense that's a prophetic word. I've never thought that before, never said it before. I feel that's going to happen. There might be a birthing here, and the emphasis is this, and the emphasis over here, this, and the emphasis there. But God has so connected his kingdom in these days. They'll find each other. And actually, so we're not going to build walls. If our move does this, and theirs does that, you need them, they need you. And if theirs does that, it's the architect at work. It's not us at work. He's at work. And we're going to see the beauty of his body. Lay down our differences, even in theology. Lay them down. Lay them down. Lay them down. We are not to build walls. We are to build bridges in the day that we're in. First, and I think most important pathway, and I may not get to the others. I'll give you the title of them if I don't get to them. I think the very first pathway is consecration and holiness. Consecration and holiness. To be set apart and kept for a special use. Lord, I'm yours. Amen. Beginning of this year, the Lord spoke very clearly to me. Now, we did 21 days of kind of wanting to seek God a bit stronger than we would normally. And at the end of that 21 days, I felt the Lord saying, this year you will see an unprecedented surrender, yieldedness to me in the UK. Like unprecedented yieldedness. I'm in. I can't even describe it, and I've had it again and again. You're going to see in 2016 unprecedented surrender, yieldedness, set apart. I'm yours. I'm yours. You know, there's a power connection in that. A life laid down, God says, that's it. If you're not living for yourself, your reputation, if you're not just trying to build your own financial security, if you're not living for the things of this world, you've just totally died and you're mine, and you set yourself apart from me, I can trust you. I need to put more of my power in you, because it's not going to go off because you've been separated to me. Joshua 3, verse 5. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. Consecrate yourselves. For tomorrow, the Lord's going to do amazing things. I had that word kind of 5-6 weeks ago. Maybe 8 weeks ago. I can't tell you. Let me be totally honest. I can't tell you how many times I've done this. Lord, I give you myself. Or this. Kind of like, I won't go fully down, but just lie down, say stuff. And then within a week or two, I forgot what I said. Anybody else? Like, or is that just me and I shouldn't be up here? It's like my commitments. So like, I feel like they're dysfunctional. They're weak. I kind of feel this energy of the Holy Spirit at times. And I'm like, I can see that. I can feel that. And then within a few weeks, it's like, we need money for this, and this needs to happen, and I've got to get the kids to there. And before I realize it, the busyness of everything, and I feel like I'm running on a wheel somewhere, and no longer hearing and feeling and sensing what God is saying. And then my commitments to the Lord, it's like I take things back. I want to just say to all of us this morning, no condemnation. The Lord would say, come on. Consecrate yourself, for tomorrow I'm going to do amazing things. He knows our brokenness. He knows our bent towards kind of forgetting what we say to him. And yet he comes back and he says, come on, walk with me again. Come on this pathway of consecration. Hold my hand, put your hand in mine. I birthed you for such a day as this. Give me yourself and I'll show you what you can really do, what he can really do through us. You've heard, maybe heard this, a coach saying to his football team in America, my job as your coach is to get you to do what you don't want to do so you can have what you've always wanted. So many of us have so many things we want God to do. We come alive in his presence. We come alive when we feel saturated by the Holy Spirit. And the Holy Spirit is coming and saying, come, walk with me right now on these paths. You don't feel like it. The alarm's gone off. You don't want to get up at that time. You've set yourself a schedule of reading and praying. You've set yourself a way of fasting and seeking God. And he's saying, I know you don't feel like it. Stay with me. I'll help you. Because actually on the other end of it is everything you've always wanted. Everything you've always dreamed of is hidden in walking that eternal pathway with the Lord. Jesus said in Mark 8:34, he called the crowd to him along with his disciples and said, whoever wants to be my disciple must deny themselves, take up their cross and follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself, take up your cross, follow me. Deny yourself. I like myself. I like feeding myself. I like pampering myself. We're driving through London. I said to Esther, I can't believe how many shops around here. I like yesterday, spa, foot massage, shoulder massage. So like we live in a culture that's got obsessed with just, I'm not against a good massage, but I'm just saying, it's all about me. Make me feel relaxed. I'm so stressed. I need to go shopping. Let's go for a coffee. I like myself. I don't want to deny myself. God is saying, no, learn to deny yourself. Let your will and his will cross and his will win. Whatever you say. Amen. I'm not even here for 80 years of comfort. Whatever you say, I'm in. Deny yourself. Take up your cross. Take up your cross. There's always a cross to bear. Sometimes the cross is other people's immaturity. Sometimes the cross is people not understanding you. Sometimes your cross might be being persecuted for what you believe. Take up your cross. Jesus took up his. Jesus took up his cross before he took up his cross. When the religious leaders of the day misunderstood him, schemed to kill him, he took up his cross. And he kept doing what God called him to do. We've got a church filled with people up and down our country today. The moment something doesn't work out the way they wanted to, I mean, it's like things go crazy. I'm like, take up your cross. So what, you got forgotten? So what, somebody didn't call you? Take up your cross. So what, you've been overlooked? So what, you weren't made to feel the center of attention? There's worse to come. Seriously, there is worse to come. Not within the church, I don't believe. I believe in the world in which we live. Dark and light, there's going to be a clash of kingdoms. There's going to be a huge clash of kingdoms. I don't know how safe it will be to be believers who believe traditional, historic Christianity in the world in which we live. So if we're offended over little things, if we stumble while running with men, how will we ever run with horses? How small is our strength if we falter in times of trouble? The Lord is saying, come on, deny yourself, take up your cross, and then follow me. Follow my example. It's the way I lived. You go to Hebrews 12 and he says that. Consider him who endured such opposition from sinful men so that you do not grow weary and lose heart. You've not yet resisted to the point of shedding blood. I'm like, no, okay. So consider him, follow him, think about his life. There's a verse that's been so, I can't even tell you how many times in 2 months the Lord has spoken to me from this verse. It's Matthew 6:33. And like, I cannot begin to tell you, it's like scary crazy. I look at the time on my phone, or I just happen to pick my phone up and I'm putting him down and it says 6:33. I'm on a treadmill and I'm running and I just see how long have I got left and it says 6:33. I mean, if I said to you 4 or 5 times a day in different ways and places that the Lord is speaking to me from that scripture, I wouldn't be exaggerating. It's happening all the time in lots of different ways and I keep hearing the Lord saying, but seek first. Seek first. Seek first. First, Steve, are you really mine? Have you consecrated yourself? There's a pathway to walk. It's called the pathway of consecration. You set apart. You seek me first. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these other things that stress me out, they'll be added to you. And I'm like, I hear that, but I've got all of this stuff to deal with. And the Lord says, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added to you. Seek first the king and his dominion, the king and his lordship, the king and his will. Seek first a righteous life, and everything else you're worried about, your father knows you need it. He'll bring it to you. And I'm like, I get that, but I really need this stuff. And the Lord's going to say, you don't get it. Seek first. But I'm like, Lord, but can I do this first? No, nothing else first. Seek first. I like doing kind of some fitness things. And sometimes if I have a choice, I can make the wrong choice. Got limited time. I've got to get my run in, or I've got to get to the gym. And I know the Lord's telling me to do this and be with him. And I'm like, God, I'll be quick. I'll go and do this, then I'll come and do this. And the Lord is saying, it's not about just trying to fit me in somewhere. It's seek first, as of first priority, number one. You know the man who came to Jesus and he said, Lord, I think it's Luke 9, Lord, I'll go with you wherever you say, follow you. And Jesus, and then I think the conversation, I won't read it now because of time, but he says, but let me first go and bury my father. Jesus said, let the dead bury their own dead. And I heard this just a couple of days ago, kind of looking at it, it doesn't even say that his dad was dead. It's actually that the guy says, but let me first, I'll follow you, but let me first deal with my home life, sort things out there. My parents may be close to dying. Let me wait for all of that to be dealt with. Then I'll come and follow you. And Jesus says, no. Seek first the kingdom of God. And this pathway of consecration actually opens up all the other pathways. If you don't settle this one, every other one will be a struggle. There's probably 10 pathways or more. I won't preach on these, but the other two I would have mentioned is learning to delight in the Word of God again. Yeah. It becomes a delight, not a chore and not a list that you tick. Yeah. And learning the power of the pathway of prayer again. Right. I know you guys pray, and I know you love the Bible, and I know you talk about dying. But I feel like these ancient pathways, it's the only way to be ready for what God is about to do. Right. It's the only way to find rest for your souls. There's deeper revelation. There's a walking into pathways that few people traverse. People go far enough to get revelation, far enough to get a little bit, far enough to get some success, then they settle. And God's saying, no, 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 come here. Enoch went so far, God was like, man, I'm taking you home. This is crazy how deep you'll walk with me. I want to pray with you. I've gone over my time, but... would you stand with me? Is that helpful? I hope it is hope-giving. No condemnation. The Father holds out his hand to you this morning and he says, come, come take a walk with me. What's your response? He says, come take a walk with me. It'll change the air you breathe. It'll put strength in you. It'll give you new revelation. It'll put endurance inside of you. And the first pathway is to live a consecrated life. Seek first. God, I'm yours. And so, Father, we stand before you today. I want to be the first, if there was a queue, to say, Lord, I'm here. I want to take your hand and walk the ancient paths. I want to stop, stand, ask, look, and begin walking pathways with you. I thank you that you're calling all of us deeper today. I pray that this word would reap fruit in people's lives. I thank you that your word always produces, always reaps a harvest. And even for those of us who may feel like, yeah, I'm walking with God, I pray that they would realize that there is more. There's always more. There's always more. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this Kingdom Faith podcast. We trust it's been an encouragement to you. For more information and resources by Kingdom Faith and for our other audio and video podcasts, please visit kingdomfaith.com.